Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Up the road trip with a late one in Seattle tonight. A 10 p.m. start against the Kraken. Detroit's defense and goaltending has been pretty solid, not giving up more than two goals since January 19th. You can hear Ken Cal's call right here on 97.1. Still in Los Angeles, but against a different team, Spartans basketball will battle UCLA this evening after falling to USC on Saturday. MSU still 9-1 in Big Ten play and a top 10 team in the country after their 13-game win streak was snapped over the weekend. If you want to see the game tonight, that's going to be on Peacock. The Pistons' next opponent going to be mixing it up in a big one tonight. The Cavs and Celtics will clash in Cleveland with the two best records in the East, and then the Pistons will get the Cavs on short rest tomorrow night when they come here to Detroit on the second half of the back-to-back. At the Corwell Health Sports Desk, I'm Chris Villar. For more, go to 97.1 The Ticket and Odyssey.com.
Had a story last week. Kang had a challenge in the household. We have a follow-up on it. The challenges of parenthood. We got a follow-up. We'll get to that today at 11:30. So, look, interesting exercise put together by The Athletic where they took all, the beat writers of Miles Garrett needy teams, put together trade proposals, sent them off to Cleveland. Detroit's did not get accepted. The Washington Commanders trade was the one that they were most likely to do, the beat writer for Cleveland. And these are opinions, okay? I don't want to overstate what these actually are, but Detroit's offer was two firsts, a third, and Hendon Hooker for Garrett and a fourth, I believe it was. And, you know, I mean, there were other deals that were really interesting. Chicago had their first and second this year and their first next year. That's the pick at 10 and the pick at 41. They would have had, given Cleveland four picks in the first 41 and a second first rounder next year. Washington's included two players, an O-lineman, a D-lineman, and three picks. I like Buffalo's trade proposal, which included A.J. Epineza and Kair Elam in three picks. But look, the question is that GM right that yesterday that told Diana Rossini it's not going to be one of these crazy multi-first-round pick deals? Or is this stuff more right that it's going to – there's got to be some sting to it for me to think that it's actually realistic. The other part of this is – I just can't shake this feeling that they're a Super Bowl contender by standing pat, and what they're trying to do and what they think. I keep saying, do I think the Lions can win a Super Bowl with this team? My answer is yes. I do think they can win a Super Bowl with this team. If I think they can win a Super Bowl with this team, what we're talking about giving up is the things that make it sustainable, the things that make it so you can win multiple Super Bowls and always be in the mix. But some people want to, and I can understand this because we'll get the calls of people who will say the following. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl. Great. So when you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you're willing to, quote, give up just about anything, it seems.
Well, I think there is that, but there's also, if you're just giving up draft capital, then you're adding to the team with a monstrously good player, which would increase your odds significantly of winning Super Bowl. Is this roster good enough right now to contend? Yeah, absolutely. When they're healthy, they're absolutely good enough to contend. But if I'm going to add this piece to it, it dramatically increases those odds.
It does, and it actually establishes a window that is more likely to close. But 248-539-9797. Let's go to Kyle next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Kyle.
Hi.
Hey.
I was listening in, and I don't believe that we need Miles Garrett because we have such a young roster, and yes, we should be in win-now mode, but look at how that's happened with other teams, bringing in older people that need, that last bit of hope. So I don't want someone like Miles Garrett. And plus, you also think that, like,
why don't you want somebody like Miles Garrett? What about Miles Garrett does not appeal to you?
His attitude.
His attitude?
Yeah, he has an attitude.
What's the attitude Myles Garrett has?
It's just
that he wants to win?
I don't know. I just don't think we need him, honestly.
I haven't seen anything about a bad attitude. I don't know that they need him to win a Super Bowl. He would, if the tires, you know, my existence, if it was win the Super Bowl next year or Doug dies, I'd trade for Myles Garrett. I'd also try and trade for Cooper Kupp. I would trade for everybody I could possibly find. And but I haven't heard anything bad about his attitude.
There you go.
Kyle?
Well, I think, like, if we do trade for him, I don't want to trade outlandish picks. We don't need to trade our future away for a guy that we could have for 4 years. Like, I want stability.
I think that adds to the stability. If you're talking 3 or 4 years with Myles Garrett, I don't think you're losing a ton off this team on the back end of this because you can't afford to pay everybody. You might lose a player or two. But the player you're getting is the best player in the NFL on defense. Or at least arguably.
Yeah, I mean, there's certain things about, and I know this isn't, it rings hollow in a town that's never won a Super Bowl, but there's certain things like overkill. Like you're paying a price to try and make yourself like 100% sure you're going to win a Super Bowl when that's not necessarily even possible to be 100% sure you're going to win a Super Bowl.
I understand that mentality if we were talking about the Lions going after Cooper Kupp. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a clear weakness on the defense, which isn't overkill. This is the defense is the weakness on this team, period, but let alone it's narrowed down to the defensive end position outside of Aiden Hutchinson.
I would be on board if that was a healthy defense that got shredded. The defense was pretty darn good before they started losing pieces, including arguably one of the players that's as good as Myles Garrett.
But they still weren't they were only getting pressure from Aiden Hutchinson. They still had a problem on the other side.
And that problem can be addressed with something that's less than Myles Garrett and still not cut into your future.
Well, I'm not sure how much I'm cutting into the future if you're going to go with Myles Garrett other than draft capital.
It depends. Well, that's actually cutting into the future. That's what draft capital is the future.
You just said the word that I was just going to say, Doug, and I think like overkill is the word I was looking for as well, because I would love Myles Garrett here too. I mean, clearly, he's one of the best defensive players in the game. You put him opposite Hutch. Oh my God, right? But I think it's a lot of flash and name recognition is blinding people from the fact that when healthy, that team constructed last year was probably one of the, if not the best rosters in the league. They're going to come back next year, and they're going to be one of the favorites to make the Super Bowl, along with the two teams in the Super Bowl this year. Hutchinson, Kirby Joseph, Brian Branch, all those guys coming back. Ali McNeil healthy. You have Campbell with another year, with Anzalone, right? Terrion Arnold another year on his belt. Amik Robertson, a revelation at the end of his year, kind of, by being able to play outside. That roster right there is good enough to win the Super Bowl. I bet you Brad Holmes believes that as well. They won 15 games with a depleted version of that defense. So I think it is a bit of an overkill to get Myles Garrett. With that being said, I would still love Myles Garrett, but I don't think you'd need him to win a Super Bowl. And I'm not saying people that want him say you need him to win a Super Bowl, but it is a bit of an overkill. Aiden Hutchinson coming back healthy is almost as good as Myles Garrett. I mean, that's what he was projected to do this year. He was on pace to do that.
248-539-9797. More of your phone calls and feedback coming up. A follow-up on a story we had last week. It is at 11:30. It is Carson Anderson. Interesting reporting. Something from somebody on the Mavs trade of Luka. He has a line that I can't believe is true, but it probably is. We'll get to that today at 11:46. Hey, Super Bowl 59, one game, two teams, endless possibilities. And there's no better way to make every play more exciting than with FanDuel. Whether you're predicting the first touchdown, who will take home the MVP trophy or the coin toss, FanDuel makes it easy to place your bets and feel the thrill of every moment. With live betting all game long, you can jump into the action, adjust your bets, and ride the wave of excitement from kickoff to the final whistle. Plus, to make the Super Bowl even sweeter, new customers can score $200 when you make your first bet. Just place a $5 bet and you'll win. You get $200 in bonus bets. Just make sure you move the line on one of those alternate spreads and you'll be all set. Download the app, head to FanDuel.com/Doug and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Tons of feedback coming in on this possibility of a Myles Garrett deal, which is still really, I mean, it's tough because, you know, these conversations get going. We don't know what the asking price is actually going to be. If the Browns have said and they maintain this position, hey, we're not trading him, and I'm okay, cool. But if the man demands a trade, and what does that lead to? Does that lead to him sitting out if he doesn't, if he doesn't accept the trade, or does he have no choice but to go ahead and play? And then you get into, all right, it's, we can sit here and come up with reasonable deals. One team goes over the top and you have to beat that deal. And the Lions, you just know Brad Holmes is going to walk away. You just know Brad Holmes is going to walk away from a deal that would cut too much into his draft capital. It's just, you can be F them picks and you can be too much. If one team goes really, really deep into their draft capital, I think Brad Holmes saying yes to any kind of trade like that is unlikely, but I'm not sure he would be okay with some draft capital going the other direction. But I mean, he has traded draft picks in the past. He's never just done a massive trade like the kind of trade it would take to get Myles Garrett.
Well, they also haven't been in a position to do it. He was building a team. He's building a foundation, and they've done that. He was building a roster. Now the roster is built. Now you can go ahead and make a big splash if you want, but I agree with you. If the price becomes ridiculous, then walk away.
I mean, look, some of this
he's going to have his cutoff moment for sure.
How about this? The Lions should do whatever they have to get Garrett.
Well, no.
The offense,
whatever they have to within reason.
Yeah, well, that's the debating point is what's in reason. This guy says the Lions should do whatever they have to get Garrett. The offense is going to go backwards. They're going to have to rely on the defense. This would be the step in the right direction. Still would need secondary help to be a solid contender. So you're going to get Garrett and get secondary help. I mean, I don't know where the cap space is coming from, but here you go. The only untouchable, this is the next one. The only untouchable for Garrett is Penei Sewell. I would trade anybody and everybody else for him. Anybody and everybody. So you're trading multiple players not named Penei Sewell.
Well, that's getting a little...
So you'd trade Aiden Hutchinson, Jahmyr Gibbs.
Just leave it at that. Yeah. You don't have to go any further because then it's crazy territory. Even though you already entered crazy territory offering up those two players.
Justin in Madison Heights says, we've also never seen Za'Darius Smith opposite of Hutch. So it feels like Za'Darius Smith came to Detroit, and what did we say, five sacks? Was it five sacks, 5.5 sacks?
He had four with the Lions, but he had five with Cleveland.
But he was playing opposite of Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
If they have a 10-sack guy opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, is that an acceptable edge rusher, Robin to the Batman? Because that's what it feels like they would have got last year, Za'Darius, for a full season. Now, every year, Za'Darius does get a little older. And so could he do that? Do they add to the pool of edge rushers in another way, whether it be with a draft pick or a trade or a free agent signing? Unnamed texter, seems like folks are loving the name on the back of the jersey more than raising trophy/banners. That's for fantasy leagues. So you're saying they're so obsessed with getting Myles Garrett that they care more about that than winning Super Bowls? I think they tell you the reason they want to get Myles Garrett is they think that would assure them a Super Bowl.
I think that's what all fans would think.
Well, I don't think it would assure him a Super Bowl if you're giving up Penei Sewell Aiden Hutchinson and Jahmyr Gibbs.
If you're talking about just adding Myles Garrett and what you're sending the other way would be draft picks, I think that's what people are thinking.
Lions don't need Garrett to win. Didn't need Garrett to win 15 games last season, but can you imagine what he would do for Minnesota, Green Bay, Washington, or even Chicago? We need him to simply for the simple fact that we aren't playing against him.
Well, would they have needed him against Washington a few weeks ago?
Oh, he would have helped.
I mean, would have helped tremendously.
So here's the thing about here's the thing about that is, if a team in the AFC, Cleveland's going to want to trade him to the NFC, and if he wants to go to a Super Bowl contender, we've already discussed, you know, there's a Green Bay proposal, there's a Chicago proposal. I think there was a San Francisco proposal I never got to. Yeah, there was a San Francisco proposal that the Cleveland beat writer said no to. I mean, these are some teams that could become a problem.
There are odds out already about the next team to land Myles Garrett. And Cleveland is number one that they wouldn't get rid of. If you're going to bet, Cleveland is at plus 300. This is according to DraftKings Sportsbook through covers.com. Number two team behind Cleveland are the Commanders at plus 450. Then it's the Raiders at plus 650. Then the Lions at plus 750. So interesting there, because the Commanders would be the first team outside of Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's the NFC team, and that's a team that, of course, he would do wonderful there. Be an excellent addition to any team, but to a team that got to the NFC Championship game and couldn't stop anything that Philadelphia threw at him. I mean, that was an embarrassing effort by Washington's defense.
There is a part of me that is fascinated with the way Brad Holmes has done this so far and kind of wants to see Brad Holmes do Brad Holmes things and see if he is really this good at the draft that they are just simply around for a long period of time doing this stuff, competing for Super Bowls every single year if you just let him cook in the draft.
Well, what if I offered you this and let him cook in the draft, which, okay, so I'm not going to take away any draft capital. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to trade anybody. What if I said the Lions should just pass on the Myles Garrett stuff because the cost is going to be too high, but go ahead and make a full court press for Khalil Mack?
Yeah, I'd be okay with that. That sounds probably more up. If we're talking about what I expect Brad Holmes to actually do, it's more that than give up the farm for Myles Garrett.
Because Khalil Mack seems to me like that's a player that's going to be he's entering free agency. We'll see if the Chargers want to bring him back or not. But I don't think his price tag is going to be anywhere near as high as maybe what you thought of going into it, because he is further along in his NFL career, but he's also still a very good pass rusher. And that's what you'd be asking him to do here with the Lions. And it'd be, you would have him and Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah, I think that would be, that sounds more up the alley of what Brad Holmes is thinking. And I think it could be a very, very smart move that could push them over the top.
Do a 2-year, $30 million deal or something like that?
Yeah, I mean, the second year is where it gets sketchy because of their cap situation in year two. But if you front load it or...
Again, they have options of to put that off. But, I mean, if you were to sign a free agent like Mack, it's not, you're not giving him like a 3 or 4 year deal. It'd probably be a 1 or 2 year deal.
Yep. 248-539-9797. More of your feedback coming in. There's a ton of feedback on Trey Young. Doug, from one bald man to another, the worst thing about Trey Young is his fake hair. Yes, it's all fake and it looks terrible. That's from Whitmer.
Is it fake hair? It looks strange.
No, it's not fake. I think he's just holding on to remains of what used to be a great empire.
But he's got that front, you know, hard, like very, very dark hairline up front, and then it gets...
Yeah, on top. Doug probably knows this more than us. I mean, sometimes it just comes in better in certain areas than others, right? In other areas, yeah. It starts to go.
For unexplained reasons, you get this patchy isthmus of hair. Doug, you're not the only one who can't stand Trey Young. The way he plays the game is annoying and it slows the game down so much. The fact that he needs to just give up on his hair and he's hanging on makes it even worse. I didn't want to get personal with that stuff.
It's hard to ignore.
When it comes to Trae Young and his foul hunting, it was horrible last night. I took my mom to her first game, and it was great, but not a single person in my section had a nice thing to say about Trae, especially when he got that fake bloody nose whacked to the face. I can't stand him even more. He did really sell that and eventually got a tech because he... Oh, look, I've been fouled. I should be shooting free throws. My favorite part of the game. I get to shoot free throws. Doug, I totally get it. I can't stand Trae Young. His dumb, scraggly hair and his punchable face are infuriating. Dumb shooting ability and stupid last set shot, second shot making. Ugh, that's from Justin Madison Heights. I'm compartmentalizing this and keeping it completely different from what he is as a player and a shooter. Some of the shots he made last night were insane. Mike in Detroit says, Doug, at the end of every show, says, treat each other with respect, except Trae Young, LOL. I'll say this about Trae Young, and I'll say this about that saying. I try every single day. I'm not always successful. We set life goals.
This is true.
And I consistently fail to meet said goals, but I try. 248-539-9797. All right, last week, we told a story about Kang fighting, didn't want to get sucked into the machine of being a dance dad. We have a follow-up. Is he officially a dance dad? We'll get to that at 11:31. Do you know your water score in your home? If you're still dealing with water spots, dingy laundry, or dry skin, your water score needs to improve. CGC Water will test your water, survey your home, and recommend the Connecticut Water Treatment Solution to improve it. They did it for us in our house. This month, save $500 on a Connecticut Premier softener and get a free Kinex salt monitor with purchase. Contact my friends at CGC Water Treatment and Plumbing, your authorized independent Connecticut dealer. Call 855-339-4242 or visit cgcwater.com today. I'm going to take it open lines. All right, we got a follow-up. So Kang has two beautiful young daughters. The oldest is a six-year-old who's into dance. She has just started once a week, runs for like 30 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a long time.
It is.
Yeah, about half the year, yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be an More elite than. Dancer, if you're going to go pro.
Yeah, well, this is true.
You got to love the game.
Get ready. It's just the beginning.
So you got an email. We'll see. About free admission into a dance competition.
Yeah, it was like a showcase, I guess. Yeah.
And these are the ones that this is like travel. It's like going from, you know, rec department or house league to travel dance. So you were like, okay, you knew what this was.
Oh, I knew nothing is free, my friend.
It is come
free tickets.
Yeah, you go to this you go to this dance thing.
Showcase.
And because of that, your daughter, of course, falls in love with it, and she's like, I want to do that.
Well,
and
that's what they want. Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're spending $12,000 a year on things like costume and travel and lessons and costumes and more costumes.
Next thing you know, you're moving to Australia, and you're changing the name to Ray Gunn, and you're competing in the Olympics.
One can only dream, Gator.
All right, so the free tickets for the showcase... was this past weekend, correct?
Yeah.
And
where was the showcase?
In the state of Michigan, Gator.
Okay.
And you went?
Yeah. I mean, I said we would go, you know. We asked the daughter if she wanted to go, and she said yes. And I understood right away what this was about. And just letting my wife know, hey, you know, this is, they're trying to suck us into the machine, right?
No.
And so, well, you know, we'll see. You see if she likes it or not. I'm like, oh, it's fine. So I didn't want them two just to go. I had to be there for,
yeah,
you know.
Quality control.
Exactly.
You need to get eyes on this and see
exactly,
what's going on.
Exactly,
an objective mind.
Yep. It's not like I wanted to
or
go,
but
how about
even
I had
this?
To
just
go.
To flat out, I'm a skeptical mind. Right.
Dude, you weren't like, here last week.
You know what you were? You were playing defense.
Oh, hell yeah.
You were
yeah.
playing defense
aggressive,
the whole time.
My friend. Yep. Yeah, so yeah, I went and, you know, we let her have a look at it and, I feel a little bad.
Why?
Because there were many times I just wanted to remind her, you know, you don't have to do this if you don't want to.
Wait, so you would say this to her?
Yeah, there were breaks in between dances and before the show, after the show. Said, hey, you know, if you want to just play soccer or something else instead, that's fine too. It's whatever you want to do.
So you were implying that you didn't want her to think that you wanted her to do this.
I just wanted her to know she has options.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just making it clear.
You
listen,
can say no.
Yes. There are lots of things, new things that you can try.
It's okay.
That, yeah.
It doesn't have to be this.
You want to be a dungeon master? It's okay. We can, you know, roll the dice here. Here's a 20-sided dice. I'll start buying the books.
We can do things that are way cheaper.
Yeah.
And way less involved.
Origami sounds like a nice hobby.
And way less boring for dad. What? So what's the net here? Is she in or is she?
So, you know, we went to the showcase. She actually paid attention for the most part, which is good.
That's step one.
Yep. At the end of it, we went home, asked her as a family, what'd you think? What do you want to do next? She's not ready for dance.
Wow.
I mean, she's sticking with dance, but she doesn't want to do the competition. She's like, you know, I just like things the way they are. She goes, I want to keep playing soccer this spring, which we're going to get her back into as well. So, yeah, as of right now, and then I talked to the wife, which is really important, after, just me and her, and she agrees. She's like, hey, let's give it at least another year. She's pretty young right now and see where she's at in a year if she wants to continue.
Wait, hold on.
What?
You know how these things work.
How's that?
1 year from now, she'll be 7.
That's true.
And it'll be too late.
Too late for what?
To get in at the highest level. It'll be a late start. She'll be behind all the other kids.
That's a chance I'm willing to take.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. If the window closes. Then I'm just going to
The window's closing, my friend.
I'm going to find another avenue, my friend.
Mm. No, there is another. He's got another daughter, too.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. You got two bullets to dodge.
I'm like freaking Neo in the Matrix.
All right, so as it stands right now.
Yeah, so that's how it went. All right, yeah, so we're good. We're good, man.
How far did you have to drive for this showcase?
Oh, it wasn't far. Okay. It wasn't far, yeah. I wasn't in like some... Okay. Random place in Indiana or anything like
that. Let me ask you, were you completely bored by this whole thing?
Yes.
Okay.
How long was it?
This was an hour, which seemed like two, to be honest with you.
Only an hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Last week, like I said, you weren't here, Gator, when we brought this up. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie. A part of this is because I'm completely unfamiliar with this area of, you know, sports or whatever, yeah. You know, like this is not my forte.
It's not an extracurricular activity I ever engaged in, right?
Ever, like not even close.
You just freelance.
I know nothing about this world,
yeah.
You know, and I admit that. And so, I asked Doug if he ever had to do this with his daughter, and no, right?
No, like she never got into.
You did stuff that you knew. She did stuff that you knew. Sports.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was relatively easy.
Did she even go to a dance class?
I don't think she ever went to dance. She did piano.
That's, you know.
She did like 10 piano lessons. And that was good.
Yeah, right. And then she said, you know what? I want to play football.
Yeah, and she actually did.
Yeah, I know.
She was a kicker. Did you look, and this is what I would have done. Did you deeply look and examine the faces of the other dads whose daughters were competing? Were you paying attention to the other dads?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, most of them are into it. You know, so I think some had shirts, Dance Dad or something like that. Or you know what I mean? Like, they're into it, which they should be. That's their daughters up there.
Dance Dad.
I don't know, man, you know?
Oh, man.
Oh, Gator, I was getting really good advice last week. Like,
Prop Dad's the call.
Prop Dad apparently is the avenue I should take if I ever have to go down
this. If you get sucked into this machine, become a Prop Dad. Because you and the other dads like set up the props. You're backstage. You're actually with your daughter.
You're busy. You're doing stuff.
You're doing stuff. Mm-hmm. And then prop dads go for beers.
Yeah, they tailgate.
Yeah. So prop dad is the.
I guess.
All right.
I'll have to take their word for it.
Yep. All right. So, but as it stands right now,
Watermelon Sharks are still in play.
Yeah. Now, does this push you to say maybe I should not be an emergency coach for the Watermelon Sharks? I should actually be the head coach if it enhances this.
And that's the girls' soccer team.
Takes her further away from dance.
This made me want to be the president, GM, head coach, player of the Watermelon Sharks.
Okay.
If I could avoid this.
So avoiding dance dadding might have him becoming a full-time soccer coach. This is going to be a fun watch.
This is only the beginning. I mean, because I mentioned he's got the younger one, too.
Yep. I know. She's that's the trouble right
yeah.
there. Yeah. I mean.
First one is all the characters. Oh, what are we going to do? And then the second one's wild.
The second one is the Dennis Rodman of my group, dude. I don't. She might leave for Vegas. I have no idea.
She's feral.
Yeah. The first one I can kind of like, she's.
Reason with.
Yes. She listens.
Talk to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The second one's wild.
Yeah, you got big issues.
Second one doesn't even like me.
God,
and Dad, not just this, but tap and ballet and jazz, it's all great. Woo!
She already doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And she's three?
Yep.
That's right.
God, my kids didn't start really disliking me until their teenage years. And then my daughter said maybe 100 words to me between her sophomore year and her freshman year in college.
If it wasn't for text, you wouldn't even communicate with her.
No, she ignores my text.
She leaves you on red.
She'd respond to threats. But I mean, that was in the door, straight to the room, close the door kind of relationship. Right now, my little guy has been pretty good.
That's good.
He's a senior in high school, and he hasn't gone through that phase. So
he's been through so many other phases leading up to this.
That's true. Yeah,
well, there was the incident with the... with the vitamin C tablets at daycare.
Zinc.
Yeah, it was zinc. It was dealing them underneath the playset, and I got a poison now, control, had to get called in.
Now he's dealing crypto.
Yeah.
Meme coins.
Yeah.
But I actually looked at my daughter in the face, the younger one, Doug, and say to her, I say, I love you. And she looks me right back, and she goes, I love mommy.
So mean.
That's
so
mean. I mean, seriously, man.
That's unnecessary.
Completely Gator.
That is so...
Like if she had done the Han Solo bit and said, I know.
Right?
Okay, that's funny. Uh-huh. I got it. Right? But no, she just went, I love mommy. Yeah.
I mean,
I love my older sister.
So bad.
Callously you, I tolerate.
Dude.
Yeah.
Right in the eyes.
Yep.
I love mommy.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm plotting to kill you. I love mommy.
What are you bringing to the table?
Who are you?
I need to know more about this this relationship here. What am I getting out of this from you?
All right, straight ahead. Amazing thing being written about Dallas. I wonder if it's true. Let's preview the Red Wing game. They are back on the ice tonight trying to sweep this West Coast trip. It is Carson Anderson, 248-539-9797. Hey, the brothers behind Show Some Athletic Apparel, they grew up playing hoops on those concrete courts you see in movies, and they used to ask each other, you going to show some today? Well, let me ask you, are you going to show some this year? You are. I know it. You're going to run. You're going to lift. You're going to exercise. You're going to get after it. Do it in Show Some Athletic Apparel. Workout clothes built to last. I got to tell you, I really like the gear that I have. It is high quality stuff. You will like it too. Use the discount code GRIT at checkout. Go to showsum.com. That's showsum.com. Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97 on the ticket. All right, a few things in the fallout of the Luka trade from Dallas last week that is still just, earlier this week, it was Sunday night, into Monday. One of the things that this trade's being hailed for is actually something that killed Dallas. It is being hailed for one of the greatest kept secrets ever, that these two teams engaged in trade talks for a generational type player, and it didn't leak at all. The story, when it leaked, it was because the trade was done, which is virtually unheard of in the modern era. But that secrecy and the commitment to the secrecy was brutally bad for Dallas. One is because if it leaked that Luka was getting shopped around, others would have called. People would have seen this and thought, wait, what?
Yeah.
So, of course, the Lakers wanted to keep it silent. They didn't want anybody else. Could you imagine Pelinka when this thing started, when this conversation was started? did he have to go full on Hollywood acting skills to make it not seem like he was too enthusiastic over this trade?
I don't know, man.
Right? Did he, you know, when they said, hey, Luca, would you be interested in Luca? Was his response like, I mean, I guess I could be. Who are you thinking you'd want back? Ooh, I don't know if we want to part with Anthony.
Right? He was like trying to start. Oh, I don't know, man. That's just
and do you
that's
start,
a big ask.
If this gets out at all, the trade's off. Like, do you start saying things like that? Because so Dallas, nobody knows that Luka's available. Then he gets traded and everyone's like, wait, what? And if they'd found out he was available, offers would have come in. So the secrecy killed Dallas. It was kept so secret. This is just amazing. This might be some sort of Jedi mind trick that Pelinka pulled or something. The Lakers had concerns that Luka wouldn't re-sign with them. And because of those concerns, and because they were committed to secrecy, and they weren't allowed to talk to Luka's agent, they refused to throw in a second first-round pick. Hey, we don't even know if we can resign him. And we're not talking to his agent because we're keeping this secret. So, yeah, we can't throw in a second first-round pick because we may
Max
lose
Max Christie, but...
I mean, seriously.
I mean, we're taking a big risk here, guy.
They were so committed to secrecy, including not even asking Luka's agent if he would be in favor or open to re-signing in L.A., that they saved themselves a second first-round pick?
I mean, that's crazy to think.
Isn't
like,
it?
This whole thing is absurd. I feel like you should give Rob Pelinka a call. I mean, you got that Michigan connection.
Yeah, I should. I'm fascinated with Dallas. I can't shake this. Dallas knows something. Dallas knows something.
Well, they know Luka better than anybody.
And if Luka is out of the league in 3 years, for whatever reason, then we'll all go, oh. Well,
I think, I mean,
maybe
the
not
very
for whatever
base,
reason, but.
At the very base of it, it might just be as simple as this. They know that the Supermax contract that they'd have to sign him to, you're talking like $500 million or $400 million, whatever the number is, that they have to spend more than any other team in the league would have to spend.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how the rules are set up. And that they just didn't want to commit that kind of money for whatever reason. They just thought, that's too much. We need to add more to this team. We don't want to go over the luxury tax and all do all that stuff. We don't want to do that. You know, we're a relatively new ownership group because just, you know, basically bought out Mark Cuban a couple of years ago or whatever it was. So we don't want to take on all that. I think it might just come down to that. It might just be a money issue. That they think that they can build a team that can win right now with Anthony Davis. What they lack is overall team defense that he brings, an inside presence that he clearly brings. Now, what you're losing is Luka Doncic, right? And there's tons that you lose from that. However, you are getting somebody in place now who's not going to cost you as much long term. Now, you're going to have to do a rebuild at some point because Anthony Davis isn't getting any younger, and you just traded away a 24-year-old superstar.
So here's the next part of this, and see, you just mentioned maybe the Anthony Davis chance to win a championship this year. Writer for CBS Sports, Brad Botkin, wrote the following. I honestly believe Mavs fans would rather not win the title with Luka Doncic than win one with the guy who replaced him. The Mavs, tell their fans right now, you win this year's NBA championship with this lineup. Or trades off. You can have Luka back.
I think they take Luka back. I really believe that writer. Like, that's a part of being a fan. It's just,
I mean,
you're not rational all the time. You're not. They're like, hurt right now, too, by the way. This is a bad time to ask.
Right. Like, are you asking, Melia? You're saying we're going to, for this year, we don't win it with Luka just this year, but we can win it with Anthony this year, but we wouldn't win it with Luka this year? Like, they're like, I can take my chances with Luka because he's 24.
Yeah, they would take their chances.
That they'll eventually win one with him. That's how, I can see that from fans. But, I mean, when you haven't won, and Dallas has won.
Yeah.
So it's also easier to take for Dallas because their fans have experienced the championship and they also know what it's like to have the superstar that they want, which is all what we talked about is yesterday. It all sounds like we're demeaning Anthony Davis, which is absolutely not.
It's just like
the purpose of
it. It's a stray he's catching.
Right. And he doesn't need to. He's an outstanding player. Has been. But
Gator, that just shows you how generational, and you know I hate that term, but how generational Luka is. That makes it seem like they didn't get much in Anthony Davis.
He's so generational. There's like five players just like him. But I know what you're saying. Right. It's the same thing with Jokic and the other guys.
So we've kind of had this debate in Detroit. This takes us all the way back to the Darko pick, right? Had they taken Carmelo, which was the consensus at the time was that Carmelo was going to go behind LeBron. And if they'd taken Carmelo...
Until those workouts, dude.
If they had taken Carmelo, Tayshaun Prince might not have got as much playing time, and he was a critical cog to them winning the championship.
They may not have traded for... Rashid.
They may not have traded for Rashid. Like, we're trading a title for the unknown because we like the player in the draft better than the player that they got.
Which is why you and I think, are in lock. And I think Kang is as well. We're in lockstep with this.
You can't ever trade in a championship. So in the Dallas fans' case, if I tell you, you win this year's NBA championship with this roster, or you can undo the trade, which would you do? This writer for CBS Sports says they would take Luka. He thinks they'd take Luka back.
I think this is interesting. Like, if we went back and thought about this with Grant Hill. Now, Grant Hill, when he was playing with the Pistons, was not as good as Luka is now. But it's sort of comparable because that's our young guy.
Yep.
Pistons fans did not want to trade Grant Hill. But Grant wanted out. Grant wanted to go to be with his wife and towards where the recording industry was and the all the action in Florida and all that, and that's what he wanted to do.
Yep.
So he left us, and we were like, oh, that sucked, because we had that guy, that young superstar-type player, although Luke is much better than Grant Hill was at that time. And it was tough for Piston fans to accept. Now, winning the championship because of what you got, because you did the sign-and-trade that allowed you to get players – you know, like Ben Wallace and others.
Yeah,
I mean, it makes it easier to take, and it also a heck of a lot easier to take when you realize that after that trade, Grant Hill was a shell of what he was because of injuries, which was sad with his career. I understand the feeling of it. You don't ever want to lose your superstar. Red Wings didn't want to lose, and the fans did not want to lose Sergei Fedorov.
Well, if you win a championship in wake of an unpopular move, and because of the unpopular move, to me, it's always worth it. Because championships are hard to come by.
So hard.
You feel like you're going to win a bunch when you may not even win one when you have that great player. And in Luka's case, he went to the NBA Finals last year and lost.
Yeah, I mean, Mavs fans, they're in their feelings right now. And to ask them that question, I actually agree with the writer. But championships, if they just calm down and they let it settle a little bit and you told them, hey, man, you get a championship. And these things, and I know you won one with Dirk, but they're really hard to come by.
Wow.
And you're going to lose Luka. But because losing Luka is not losing a player. He is so beloved there. And he's not just beloved. He is great at such a young age. All that put together, I mean, this was... That's why it was so shocking, you know, and it's especially shocking to a Mavs fan.
The one thing about this is that we're presuming to make this an argument, you have to presume that they win a championship this year, which is not a safe presumption.
No.
Not at all. And that's another reason why they're so upset. Like, it's not like they got guaranteed a championship this year. They don't even feel like, you know, they're better, but ish.
Would this be like if, you know, in 1992 that the Lions would trade Barry Sanders?
Yeah.
You know, you come off the 91 season, it was a great season, they fell short, and you've got the best running back in the history of the game, and all of a sudden there's a trade overnight that nobody saw coming that sends him wherever for whatever.
The Cowboys.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like Green Bay or something, like a team you hate.
How about this? They send him to the Cowboys for Troy Aikman. You know, and so we get Troy Aikman, and the Lions go out and win a Super Bowl because of it. But I think if you pulled fans at the time, they'd rather try with Barry Sanders than win without.
It's a crazy, uncomfortable place to be, and that's where Mavs fans are. But I'm kind of rooting for the Mavs now.
Well,
the
both
West.
Teams play tonight. You got the, I mean, Dallas plays tonight, and the Lakers play tonight in separate games. But this is the first time in a while that I'm interested in an NBA game that doesn't involve the Pistons.
Well, it's also the Red Wings are on the radar. They play tonight. We'll get to them today at 12:02. Also, straight ahead, this is coming to Detroit. It's actually here, Detroit. What are you going to do about it? We get to that at 12:20 here on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.